제니 다 어 가도가네 자상 어디 되는 데게 이니 에 자다 나가 쉬면 나러네 이니 디 쉬시다 응아게 안다 자가게 다 가서 우리 그게 좀다 저주다 앞에 잡아 쉬셔도 와디 가서 뭐지 또 왔다 됐어야 돼 에 예매 타라 에노 다도 세븐 주거든 무슨 주비 가서 주비 주고서야 다 대주 무슨 다 똑배지 유는 죽죽 캐봐 먹고 싶으시다 남편 뒤주다 집엔 뒤주 잡아 싶어도 와 쉬고 계속 버리자 유진 씨배 유질우리야 맨날 그렇게 얘기해 매도 돼야 돼 시간 내가 같이 버리자
So this fact, this point about how two truths, the principle of two truths, really should be understood in terms of two different perspectives on one and the same world is very important because it directly touches upon our understanding of the relationship between our perception and the reality of the world, perception and the objective world. And so we find in the Indian Buddhist literature a tremendous amount of discussion, debate, and analysis about the way in which mind or consciousness perceives the world and what is the nature of the relationship between our subjective experience and the objective world, to what extent they are constitutive of the world that we experience and to the world that we perceive. So I think, the reason why there has been such a tremendous discussion and the debate and analysis is because, you know, the understanding of that plays a crucial role in one's development of mind and training of the mind.
Oh, yeah. 다 어시 담바니 예바 인자네 람탑신이 다른 데 묵군이 있다고 시작해.
So the Buddhist tradition argues that since in reality there are two truths, the conventional reality and ultimate reality, therefore corresponding to those two levels of reality are two dimensions of the path, the wisdom path and the method path or the skillful means path. And because there are two principal dimensions or aspects to the path, there are also two aspects to the state of Buddhahood. One is the form, and one is the actual reality of the Buddhahood, Dharmakaya and Rupakaya, the form body and the truth body of the Buddha. So it's already 11:30. If we are in Dharamsala, we can have more flexibility with time. We can stop 10 minutes later or earlier and so on. But here in the West, we have to be very punctual. So we'll stop.
Really, thank you. Ya, tak sana. Tak dendek ini tak si ni dua lagi dendek dua anda kuda lah. Namun kita disegari. Sendun suku saja, ramdun cuku saja. Kalau selama ini sendun suku saja di tujuh lembang sana yang kau ni, tak sungguh cile. 제발 죽겠는데, 나 제발 죽겠는데, 가다 숙숙 구입해 주자네. 드는데 보다디, 아니 샌드윈 머스팅에 리메이드는 샌드윈 숙구스에. 아다 드는데 보다 아니 가시오를 그게 매밀 흔들고 수도 숙구 매밀 흔들고 샤르냐 지기. 드는데 아니 가시오를 그게 빵스 타다 아니 최진 수세니 아니. 네. 아니 간다다. 아니 이시 타투버도 톱이 운데. 엔 디땡네. 수금 매밀들로 샤프야 돼. 이거 이거 이제잖아. 아니 최지고 건도 마스. 건도 스네미도 다 최지고 마 토바. 아니 샹주 매밀들로 샤야 돼. 수구디 두트야 매베체. 대단하야. 이시 추구디 라주니 가서 코랑게 무슨 주의 마다. 스네미도 다 간다. 사이에 남편도 코네 주의 마다. 두절 무슨 나 거네. kushen deshi dhukum eba yindu tsa ne ene randu chur kus shina oru duksla yukari.
We spoke about earlier there being on the basis two truths. Corresponding to that, there were two aspects of the path, wisdom aspect and the method aspect. And we also spoke about how the resultant state of the Buddhahood is also constituted by the two dimensions, the form body of the form embodiment of the Buddha and the truth embodiment of the Buddha. So, and these two aspects of the Buddhahood, for example, the form embodiment of the Buddha is said to be that form of the fully enlightened being which exists purely in relation to others. Now this is because by assuming these diverse forms and appearances, the fully enlightened being engages in all kinds of activities to fulfill the welfare of well-being of other sentient beings. And whereas the truth body of the Buddha is said to be that form of the Buddha or that embodiment of the Buddha which is in relation to Buddha himself or herself. And the reason for stating that is because the expanse of the reality, that is the Dhammakaya, is directly accessible only to a fully enlightened being. So, and it is only through assuming or through the medium of assuming various forms of embodiments that the Dharmakaya can manifest and engage in activities that are beneficial to other sentient beings. So the resultant state of the Buddhahood is therefore can be seen as the fulfillment of both one's own self-interest of the individual and also the fulfillment of the interest of the others.
Tadi sholo ga thangpo gubu digi guzu chanju sem chong ya chhe thapkin nan jo chhe la de ne sholo ga thama digi ne dandam chanju sem gom ya dungni gom ya digi.
So in these 8 verses of training the mind, the text which has been distributed, the first 7 verses deal with the practices associated with cultivating this method aspect of the path, such as compassion, altruism, aspiration to attain Buddhahood, and so on. And the last verse, the 8th verse, and deal with the practices that are directed towards cultivating the wisdom aspect of the path. The first verse reads, by thinking of all sentient beings as even better than the wish-granting jewel for accomplishing the highest aim, may I always consider them precious. Now in these 4 lines, thoughts and reflections on how to cultivate a sense of holding dear all other sentient beings is presented. And here, the main point that is being emphasized is to develop an attitude or a perspective that would enable you to hold other sentient beings as precious, something like a precious precious jewel.
Yeah. Tadi, ene yusimja namo zashibuziya di yumze kariyarasana.
Now the question could be raised, on what grounds do we need to cultivate the thought that other sentient beings are precious and valuable?
Dado 다나 시인내고기 지다 상부연데 지다 상부 디기 상부차 디디 시선질되는 연구도 남지 내걸 인해야 즉 표순서고 디디 시선질되는 연구요 아래 대변 내고기 산지에게 그게 틀레 매밀 흔룩 세대야 디디 틀레 죽세 유심전을 땡땡해 땡땡이 타네 쟤니 그 가단 가서 그게 진심 무슨 내면 좀 잡아주고 싶지 않겠지
So in one way, we can say that other sentient beings are really the principal source of all our experiences of joys, happiness, and prosperity, not only at the level of ordinary existence, in our ordinary day-to-day life, when we deal with people, and also in our own ordinary experience of joys and pains and happiness and so on, we will see that all the desirable experiences that we aspire to attain, that we cherish, really are dependent upon cooperation with other sentient beings. And it is an obvious fact. Similarly, from a practitioner's point of view, even on the path, many of the high levels of realization that you gain and the progress that you make on your spiritual journey are also dependent upon cooperation from other sentient beings and also interaction with other sentient beings. Also, at the resultant state of Buddhahood, the truly compassionate activities of the Buddha can come about spontaneously without any effort, only in relation to sentient beings, because they are receptive or recipient of beneficiary of these enlightened activities. So through these ways, one can see that other sentient beings are, in a sense, the true source of all our joys, prosperity, and happiness. It is very obvious to all of us that many of the prosperities and successes of mundane existence are dependent upon other sentient beings. Such basic factors of our happiness and comfort of this life, mundane existence, such as food for sustenance, shelter, clothing, companionship, all of these are dependent upon other sentient beings. Also, fame and renown are again dependent upon other sentient beings.
Media, Mr. Keshe.
For example, media is very important. They can also be nasty and also undermine one's reputation, so they are quite powerful.
And
also in our human life, feelings of comfort, sense of security, and joy are so much dependent upon other people's affection towards you, other people's perception of you.
Almost like I think the very existence or basis of our existence seems very much related with human affection. Without human affection, our life cannot start, cannot begin, and then sustenance, proper growth, all these is much depend on human affection. To oneself also, in order to achieve calm mind. Again, the individual, the more you have sense of caring of other, so you get some kind of more deeper satisfaction. I think the the very moment you see, you develop sense of caring, then because of your own mental attitude, the others appears to oneself more positive. The more you, see, you reject, because of that mental attitude, others appear to us something a little negative. And another thing, quite clear, the moment you think oneself, the whole your mind focusing very narrow area. So within that, some uncomfortable, some painful things or some tragic things appears huge. And that brings us fear, uncomfortable, or kasota, but to make
a sense of being, feeling overwhelmed by misery.
The moment think others, sense of caring, your mind then widened. So within that sort of wide sort of kasota angle, your own problem, then appears no significance. So it makes big differences. Then also there is, I think, another important factor, that is more have the sense of caring of other. In spite of your own difficult situation, underneath, you have some kind of strength. In spite of your own the problem, these things, this insignificant and no sort of moderation. So you go on further, taking care, more problems. So that actually, they bring inner strength, self-confidence. So less fear. Result, more calm.
So what we see here is how ways of thinking and how mindset really makes such a difference.
Dene junjun ne sonwa na chiri, shen ki dungne samne sem to sing ma jibu yodeba, tetang rang ki dungne ki sem ma jibu yodeba, nyibu tila kya sha do. Shen ki dungne sambe to ne sem to sing ma jibu yodeba di, ding ding de tang to lembare.
And as Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life states that there is a phenomenological difference between the sense of pain that you experience when you take upon yourself or when you share in someone else's pain and suffering, and between that and your own experience of your own pain and suffering. In the former case, although as a result of or due to the sharing of others' pain, there is an element of disturbance, there is an element of discomfort because of that experience. But as Shantideva points out, deep down, there is a level of stability, because in a sense you are voluntarily accepting that pain. So in that process of voluntary participation, there is a strength, there is a sense of confidence. Whereas in the latter case, that's the case where you are going through your own agony or pain and suffering, there is an element of involuntariness, because you feel completely overwhelmed, and there is no element of strength there, because in a sense there is no degree of control on your part.
And he shenji dawa dunghe liya singbu laane ata jik shen la chamzi kumdu zane rang jik kari cik dina yungduwa rang yawa torsa chi shen jibin zi rang yawa torsa chi di cik kuwa di ata ini shen di kya to suay ba meba jik ta kaji zo diri ma to rang yawa torsa chi rang bai lue dang rang la bai su bai kong du sa li bai kaji zao yin rin min nukwa 가다
So when we talk about the practice of voluntarily sharing in someone else's pains and suffering, and accepting and or participating in that experience, and accepting that voluntarily upon oneself, it is important here to underline that sometimes in the Buddhist teachings on altruism and compassion, sometimes certain expressions are used, such as that one should disregard one's own well-being and cherish others' well-being. But these statements must be understood in their proper context, because the fundamental point is that if you do not have the capacity to love yourself, then there simply isn't the basis on which to build a sense of caring towards others. Now, when we talk about loving oneself, here we are not talking about loving oneself because you are indebted to yourself. It's not that kind of a sense of caring or sense of love. Rather, this capacity to love oneself or be kind to oneself is based on a very fundamental fact of human existence, which is the natural aspiration that exists in all of us to desire happiness and to want to shun suffering, to avoid suffering. And it is on that simple but fundamental basis that there should be this capacity or ability to care for oneself. So once that basis exists, then one can extend that onto other sentient beings. So when we find such teachings as disregard your own well-being and cherish the well-being of others, we should understand that in the context where your training or cultivation of your compassionate ideals should be such that you do not indulge yourself in ways of thinking or self-centered perspectives which generally totally disregard the impact your action has on other sentient beings.
So today we do something. Ta, shen tin shen bu yin ba da. Di jum zhen chik shen. Tene jum zhen de zhen chik di. Ani rang chi ban zhen ba di. Ani nie ba zao yin ba. Shen chi ban zhen ba di. Ani di ji zao yin ba. Da yuan deng yuan de gu yi bi jun ne de. Ta lu se song dang yuan de. Ani xin ne ji.
So, as I spoke about earlier, so one of the premises upon which this attitude of considering others as precious must be developed is this recognition of the kindness of other sentient beings towards our own experience of joy, happiness, and successes. So that's one consideration. And the second consideration is based upon reflecting on the contrast between the effects of self-cherishing thoughts and emotions on the one hand, and thoughts and emotions that cherishes the well-being of other sentient beings. So what through analysis or contemplation, we will come to see that much of our misery, much of our suffering and pain really results from a self-centered attitude that cherishes one's own well-being at the expense of others, whereas much of our joys and happiness and sense of security really arises from thoughts and emotions that cherishes the well-being of other sentient beings. So by contrasting these two forms of thought and emotion, one will gain a sense of conviction for the need to regard others' well-being as precious.
chizam ge sheng ge tundal pa samdang de chue ge yong ya de rang le ya dan de phe ge da di ji ma yo chi ta de mi du san ya da lu ren shi men na so na shi ge sheng de che ji san be ne rang de sha lan du s sheng de zo ru san be rang de sha lan du s de
du and also one of the facts about cultivating the thoughts and emotion that cherishes the well-being of other sentient beings is that in that process, in fact, what happens is also that one's own self-interest and wishes are fulfilled as a byproduct. So the fulfillment of one's own interest becomes a byproduct of actually working for other sentient beings. As Tsongkhapa points out in his great expositions of the path to enlightenment, that the more the practitioner engages in activities and thoughts that are focused, directed towards the fulfillment of others' well-being, the fulfillment or realization of his or her own aspirations will come as a byproduct without having to make a separate effort.